chat with the Freedom Fiends.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Michael W. Dean? Can you feel it, Dan Green?
Oh, I feel it.
Leave it better than you found it.
I feel it. I can't wait to join that cult.
I know. Derek J's cult is amazing. I'm really psyched about it, man. Yep.
Speaking of cults, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org.
I have cats. I have baby cats. They're trying to help me do the show, but they're really not helping. They're they don't really understand much. They like wires. They like you know, curly, wiggly headphone wires, and they like to chew on them, and they like to run all over the desk, but they don't really contribute much other than my incredibly good mood that I have cats again, and cats are a wonderful thing. We got cats.
Wow.
And Cat is one of our cats, and the other cat is Roxy Girl. They're good.
Now, did you say that one of them was a Somali cat?
No, but I came up with a name. We took them for their first vet checkup today, and everything's good. But I was reading a book, you know, the big book of cat pictures, and I didn't know that there was a breed of cat called a Somali cat, so I decided to make a meme today that said, "If you don't love America, get a Somali cat."
I'll stick to my Russian blues. And my Norwegian forest cat I still have.
You have a Norwegian. You have a Ouija. You have a large, plump, and luscious Ouija.
She is large.
Do you know that Ouija is a derogatory term for someone from Glasgow, funnily enough?
How?
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
It's actually true. Just because Glaswegian Ouija.
Glaswegian?
Not really.
What does that mean?
Yeah, someone from Glasgow is a Glaswegian. Like, right. I'm a Glaswegian.
That's weird.
I thought it might have had something to do with the Ouija boards or something like that, one of those spirit type thing, making fun of them that's like some kind of spiritualist nutter.
Yep.
Oh, well.
I've got several Ouija boards, and actually they're so much fun sometimes if you're having a party. See if you know how to freak someone out with one. Like, you get really funny.
I got an interesting thing today and yesterday. Well, first of all, there's a new radio station carrying LRN in the Upper Haight District of San Francisco. It's currently the most powerful station in the Tri-Yard area, but that it may get more powerful than that soon and reach to Oakland. But it's 88.1 FM. If you walk around the Haight-Ashbury District, you will hear us on radio right now on station K-Gay. K-G-A-Y. I don't know who's running it. I heard about it from Derek J. But
I'm put the pieces together.
Speaking of putting the pieces together, I bought this kit to build an FM transmitter that's like it's an inch and a half. The board is an inch and a half by an inch and a half, and you reach 15 miles. It's not legal in America. This one's going to go to run LRN in Liberland, I think. But I solicited donations to get the $60 to get this thing. It was mailed to me in an envelope from Christchurch, New Zealand. I love the name of that place. And it's like
in an envelope.
Yes, in an envelope. I used to make, you know, kit circuit board stuff when I was a kid, but the components have gotten so small. They're like, they look two dimensional. Like, they come all taped to a single sheet of paper, and I'm supposed to like I don't know, the components have gotten smaller and my eyes have gotten worse. I may not be able to put this thing together, but I'm going to try even during this show probably, but I'm going to have to go outside and do it because I can't breathe solder, you know, rosin smoke. Mm. So I'm going to go outside and do it in the dark with a light, big light in the backyard. Like, you know, I'm waiting for the UFOs to land.
You see him out there with the huge gas mask.
Yeah, building acetylene. Yeah.
Leave it better than you found it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you hear me just walk away, or I'm not here, that's what I'm up to.
Yeah.
But I'll be back.
How are you finding having cats again?
I love it. Except I have to keep these tiny little components away from them. I like it.
See, that's the one reason why, like, I've never had cats. It's just because I know they would make a mess of a house. Like, they would be. I've got loads of wee ornaments and
wee ornaments. Yeah, all over the place. They're not as bad as, well, you know, what was it your wife said about children? And I totally agree with her of why she doesn't like children. It's they're sticky and they ask too many questions. Cats are kind of like that. They're not sticky, but they'll mess with everything and they yell at you in your sleep and bite your nose.
They're shitty.
They're shitty.
Not sticky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been thinking about cutting.
Oh, go ahead. I was just going to say, I've got a dog, man, and like he won't even if there's food in front of him that's like that he knows is mine, he won't touch it unless I tell him it's okay. Yeah. You know, in my house, I enjoy that kind of obedience.
I do get it from the dog. The thing is, cats.
Tyranny.
Cats are technically not fully domesticated. Dogs are. Like, yeah. Cats are wild beasts that live in your house. Cats, okay, dogs, the smallest dog would run into a burning building to try to save you. The cat would wait, would go outside, wait until the fire has killed you, and then go back in and eat your cooked body, literally. I'm not kidding. They would do that.
It really is true, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
There was a story I read one time of this guy, and he had had some, it was something on his, it was like some abscess or something he'd had in his foot, and it could have like killed him, but like he'd sort of passed out and his dog just ate it off. And apparently the dog saved his life, but you know, the dog probably just ate it because he was like, that looks disgusting.
Gangrenous. Yeah.
Just yeah. Gnawing on a rotten foot still attached to him.
Yeah.
Not even paying attention. I've had this great idea to put like a cat highway. I don't know if you've heard of those things, like the little strips of wood that you put on the top part of your house around the walls and stuff, so they can climb up and run around and do all that stuff. But it seems like a lot of work, and I'm lazy.
It really is.
But it probably would keep her from my cat from, you know, going after my knickknacks, or what did he say? The wee ornaments. The wee ornaments.
Yeah.
See, I don't know, but I've kind of, like, talking about dogs, we've sort of had this opinion that I like to believe that at one point the dogs all got together and they said, look, these humans are doing well, clearly. Clearly they're going to be taken over soon. We should just get in with them as best we can. I mean, we'll just suck up to them. We'll do anything we can, and they'll probably take care of us. And then the cats saw the dogs doing it and went, let's just copy them, but not care as much.
Yeah. Well, actually, dogs were domesticated by people, and cats kind of half domesticated himself. Like, basically, you know, dogs were earlier. Dogs were, you know, wolves that would not eat people, that would help them hunt. Cats and grain and rats, you know, basically, like, when humans started storing grain, all of a sudden humans had a rat problem. And as soon as humans had a rat problem, they had a cat not problem, you know, like, oh, yeah. We'll eat those for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just scratch my back and I'll eat your mice. That seems like a deal, right?
The Royal Navy used to bring cats on ships regularly because they had grain on Navy ships to feed the sailors. And, you know, without a couple cats on a ship, they would be overrun with rats and mice.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, what's the most effective way to catch a rat or a mouse? It's cat. Not by using traps. It's by getting a cat, because the cat will actively seek it out for fun.
Yeah.
That's the most effective way. Oh, even there's idiot. Even like the Prime Minister has a cat to catch the mice that have been running around Downing Street. Yeah. There's other animals apparently that have been doing that, but we'll get to there.
Yes.
And pigs in a blanket, right?
Ruined Christmas for me. Thank you to Free Caledonia for that.
Yeah. Speaking of our quote-unquote leaders, I guess one of our leaders today stepped down after a hard, long, arduous task of completing his master goal to becoming a, you know, I don't know, something. And yeah, he quit. He quit today. And there was a video posted online of this, and it's apparently a small rat was trying to carry a pizza down a flight of stairs and failed. Failed after two more steps before he could get his pizza home to his family. And I thought that was absolutely terrible. But you know, apparently there's now going to be less mice in the race in the future for pizza. Oh, you thought I was talking about Scott Walker. Oh, no.
So, like, see, for someone like me who doesn't know a lot about it, is Scott Walker basically falling at the first hurdle? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, we all thought Christie was going to quit first, but
I don't know that much about it.
Yeah, he was a guy that's like, oh, I never quit, I never stand down. I stood up to the unions in my state, but you know, after the first couple flops of his campaign, he decides to quit. Okay, whatever. You know, even whatever.
Like Chris Christie, the things he said about marijuana were absolutely ridiculous, man.
Yeah, I guess Carly Fiona said the same thing, that alcohol's worse for you or better for you than marijuana.
I saw some meme.
Is that what she said?
I saw a meme that said the only thing that all of the Republican presidential candidates had in common was they all loved Ronald Reagan. They all want to increase the war on drugs. They're all afraid of Iran. And they all think that Obama has done some illegal things as president. And then it had a picture of Ronald Reagan, and it said, sold cocaine to fund giving weapons to Iran illegally. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's true.
Well,
and if you're listening, and you love Ronald Reagan, and you're insulted by what I just said, why? It's true. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, how can you... I just know we're on conservative radio stations. There are people listening going, wait, what do you say? What do you say about Reagan? Huh? Reagan also was like added gun laws, added taxes, and increased the size of the federal government. So, but he had really good, really good hagiographers after he died to like paint him as the, you know, great conservative. He wasn't even conservative, man. He was anything but.
And George Bush increased the government in ways that George
Clinton for president.
George Clinton could never dream of.
He smokes crack. George Clinton smokes crack. Who are you going to call, a cop or a crackhead? I'd call a crackhead because he'll do what you need to do for the crack.
Worms. You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Yep.
Yep. Too busy talking to talk radio.
We really are. Check your email, guys. I just sent you this weirdest thing I've gotten. It's this. It's a piece of paper that somehow is also a radio transmitter. It's pretty cool.
How is that a thing?
Look at it.
Yeah, it's like a piece of paper, and then there's like little. It's almost like an Excel spreadsheet, and each little box doesn't like has words in it. Not just words, but like little chips, and then like a wire, and a little tiny circuit board.
Yeah, you looking at this, Dan?
I'm just getting it up. I'm interested. It reminds me of there was a TV
show
before here. There was a TV show before here, and the guy was making like a television out of like he was making it himself basically. And the postman comes up to his door, and he's got an envelope, and he's like, "Do you know what that is?" And he's like, "It's an envelope." And he's like, "No, that's a telly."
Really?
He's like, "A telly in an envelope? No, that's an envelope."
Yeah, I think it's the same. It's the same technology. It's called surface mount technology. It's like all the components are basically flat and nearly microscopic, but not quite.
Oh, that's cool. How do you have the patience and dexterity to work with that?
I'm not sure I do, but...
That would frustrate me. I'm just looking at the picture and I'm frustrated already.
Well, if I can't put it together and I don't ruin it, if I give up halfway, I probably know people that are younger than me and have better eyes and do this all the time that I could send it to, and they'll put it together and then they could just run it.
So what? It's like a transmitter.
Yeah. And it's it said that like with a good antenna, it'll go 15 miles. It's mind blowing.
That's so weird, man.
Yep.
It's pretty cool. I just, like, and then, I said, wish I had the time and energy to do something like that.
You know, would they just send it to you in the mail with an envelope with just a regular stamp on it?
Yeah. Well, like an airmail stamp from Christchurch, New Zealand. And like when I got it, like I saw the name of the company. I'm like, wait, I thought this was going to be a box. Maybe he's just sending me instructions now and the box will come tomorrow. And I'm like, I open it up and I'm like, no, it's a two-dimensional radio kit, man. It's weird. Ow, kitty. Ow. Damn it. Yeah.
Is this the cats, though?
It's the cats, man.
So you have yet another obstacle. It's, you know, it's the dexterity and the vision and the cats.
I'm going to go where there's no cats to put this thing together, man.
There's like a little tiny red wire. I could just see that's going to be a nightmare
hiding
for
it.
You.
Yeah. The one, it's missing. I'm almost done. There's one component missing. No.
The cat's running around chasing it.
Yep. Oh, wow.
I actually remember, like, I had a friend once who was like, he was going to do dentistry at uni. He later dropped out, but that's not the point. But, like, he was in the interview and the guy said, what do you do for dexterity? And he was a guitar player, so he thought that would be enough, you know, because that's something you do. So he was like, oh, I play guitar. And the guy went, yes, and? And then he was like, and he went, I make model airplanes. And the guy went, oh, right, what kind? And, like, he never made a model airplane in his entire life. And he was just going, well, I had this Spitfire, just like anything you can think of.
Oh man,
you'd think guitar playing would be enough, man. That takes dexterity. Well, it depends what you're playing, I suppose. If you're just playing like chords, then no. But if you're in some kind of mad metal band, then fair enough.
So this thing didn't come like a little Raspberry. Well, doesn't Raspberry Pis come disassembled as well?
No, they come put
together.
The little
tiny computers.
Like bare bones, the board is put together, and then like you can put a bunch of other stuff on them. But no, nope.
Okay, so this is actually a little bit more advanced.
Yeah.
Could you get this thing like pre-packaged, like pre-assembled for you?
No, you can't.
It's not fun.
Which is weird because with most kits, that's an option: pay extra and get that. But nope.
Do you have people in the States? I know that we have it here. We have people here who run businesses who basically say, if you buy something from IKEA for like 20 quid, I will assemble it for you.
IKEA will do that here.
Do they? I don't even know if they do that here, but I know that there's wee guys that run businesses about they do that. They go to people's houses and just assemble their IKEA furniture for 20 quid, which is not a bad idea.
Oh, I'd hate to be that guy. Like, where did I put that dowel? No. No, I could not handle that. My brain would not allow for that. So is it like a thing like where this is you can't have this like already assembled? Is there like some kind of law or
maybe
something?
Some kind of government? I don't know. I think the guy just likes kits and doesn't want to assemble them.
It's just fun.
Yeah, sure.
I get bummed out if I pay for something, then I need to put it together myself.
Well, you know, one thing that's changed a lot since I was a kid is almost everything that needs batteries comes with batteries now. It used to be batteries not included, to the point where, like, there's a club in Chicago called Batteries Not Included, but I don't know. Everything has batteries when you buy it now.
Even synthesizers?
Cheap batteries. Yeah.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Barack Obama is a liar. Barack Obama is a socialist. And Barack Obama's feet stink.
Michael, could I add to that?
Speak up, son.
I will speak up. I'll pretend I'm on the radio. Could I add to what you just said and say that David Cameron is a top hat wearing, socially inept, morally bankrupt, fun hating, peg fiddling android?
Peg fiddling? What's peg that fiddling? Mean?
He fiddles pegs.
I did kind of like this a little bit.
You said pegs. Today at the vet, you know, we took the cat for their first checkup, and the doctor, the vet, took the cat's temperature, but anally. You know, he stuck this little digital thermometer up his butt. And the cat, he said, he's not going to like this. And I helped him hold the cat because it was wiggling all around. And I said, bad touch, bad touch. And the doctor laughed really hard, man. Yep, it was fun.
So I thought of an interesting business model, and I want to get it.
All right, I'm going to go solder this thing together. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good show. Bye.
Yeah. You go solder that thing together, and I'm going to try to figure out how to start selling pirated e-meters, Scientology e-meters through the mail in envelopes. I'm going to make $1 million.
It's not a bad idea. People would buy them. That's the
thing. Yeah, they would. People would buy them just to see if they could, like, figure out how they, quote-unquote, don't work. So what's this about? David Cameron? What was something about fiddling pigs? Does he make, like, pigs in a blanket? What's that? I'm hungry now.
I know, man. But you won't be in a minute.
I should probably be eating bacon while you do this. So you go ahead, and I'm going to start just chewing this bacon.
You get some bacon going, right, and I'll just explain. So it's funny because regular listeners to the Freedom Fiends will know that, like, it's been talked about the show Black Mirror for years. Like, not for years, but you know what I mean? It's been on for years. The show's been on for years, and we've talked about it on the Fiends before. It's a show by Charlie Brooker, and he wrote this episode called... It's like a sort of dystopian sort of... sci-fi sort of, kind of sci-fi. Sci-fi is the wrong word, but dystopian is probably a better word. It's the dystopian sort of show. And
David Booker, I'm sure, like, a lot of people would know who he
Charlie
is.
Charlie Booker.
Or Charlie Booker actually know who he is. Brooker. They've seen, like, some of... Whatever.
Come on, Jim.
I know the name when I see it. You'll see him, like, doing, like, parody videos of, like, newscasts that kind of, like, show how ridiculous newscasts are. And you've also probably seen, what's his name? Doug Stanhope go on there and do, like, a skit on a show. Yeah, so I've seen Americans pass around his stuff, but not the Black Mirror thing. I have no idea what that is. This was all news to me when I first heard about this. I need to get into it, huh?
It's really good, actually. There's a lot of... It's like... Do you know what it is? It's like it's so near. It's like it's not like out of the way future. It's like things that... It's almost like it looks like our world, but maybe something's different. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't want to ruin anything for anyone that hasn't seen any of the shows, but it's like something will be different, and it's something that could happen, and it really makes you think, because it'll maybe be something to do with technology, but then there'll be all these sort of moral and ethical questions that sort of arise with what they're talking about, and it does make you think. But I know what you mean. I actually see the Doug Stanhope thing. That was the first time I ever heard of it. Doug Stanhope was through watching Charlie Brooker. And then I later got into stand-up after that. And he's hilarious.
Yeah, he's great.
But yeah,
and Charlie nothing Brooker he says it. Could we ever play on the radio, though. Nothing he says.
See, I just loved about Doug Stanhope. See, there was one show he did, and he actually put a comment about Keynesian economics, but he was saying it as if he was a black prostitute. And it's just...
This already sounds terrible.
That's as much as I could probably say on there. But Charlie Brooker he did an episode of this show Black Mirror, and it was called The National Anthem, and the whole premise was that there was this young popular princess, and she'd been sort of like proper royal family nonsense, but she'd been kidnapped, and the person was threatening to kill her unless the prime minister had sexual congress with a pig live on TV. And so, like, that's the whole premise. And
that's
I'm not going to ruin it for anyone. It's a good episode. You should watch it. The episode's called The National Anthem. But that's the thing. So then it turns out this book's come out by, it's been serialized in the Daily Mail, the printed excerpts, and it's this guy, Lord Ashcroft, right? And Lord Ashcroft, basically, people know him in the UK. He runs a polling company. company that are very influential and are taken very seriously. He's a like a billionaire. He's given the Tory party, the Conservatives, over £800 million God, in like 10 years or something like that. And basically he thought by giving all this money to the Conservative Party, he was going to get a job in Parliament and he was going to get big money. He got offered like, I think it was like whip of the House of Lords, which you won't even know what it means and you don't really need to, because to be honest, it's such an insignificant junior job. It's insulting, especially to someone who gave £8 million. Like, it's just, it's, no, it's insane, man. So he didn't take it. Now he's out to get David Cameron. So he's co-written this book with this journalist, and it's called Call Me Dave. And what it is, basically, it's an unofficial biography of David Cameron. And it's kind of, it's obviously they're out to get him, basically. But like, apparently when he was getting initiated into one of his secret university societies, he put his, let's say, a private part of his anatomy, as the Telegraph might say, into a dead private pig's parts. Mouth.
Oh.
Apparently, there's a photograph, but the photograph was not supplied, funnily enough. Yeah, but what's kind of interesting is it's raised other questions. Like, for a start, there's the Lyndon Johnson thing. You know, Hunter Thompson, I believe, mentioned this. You know, apparently Lyndon Johnson said, "Call your opponent a pig effer just to make the SOB deny it." You know what I mean? So that's the best way I could say that on the radio, Jim. That's the only way I could say that on the radio. But that's the thing.
This is an interesting topic. Like, this is going to be a very challenging topic for radio, but go ahead.
Yeah, this is challenging for radio. And we're polite gentlemen, you being yourself, Jim. So we're trying to maintain our polite gentlemanly status here.
But so, like, along with the pig sex. Go ahead.
See, David Cameron hasn't denied it, right? Because again, how can he deny it? Like, it's so they've just done the, you know, the classic thing, and fair enough, this is probably what I'd do as well. They've gone the way of saying, "We are not going to dignify these kind of claims with an answer." You know, that sort of thing. Like, we're above this pig, whatever it is. This pig foolery. Like, that's the thing.
That's really not confirming or denying it. Just, all right, we're not going to talk about that. So if it does come out to be true, they can't be like, "Well, we didn't lie."
I've been initiated into secret societies before. I've talked about that on the radio. It's not really anything. Like, I'm not a member of one anymore, apart from the initiation, obviously. But, like, there was no dead animals. I can't obviously say what happened, but definitely not dead pigs. I mean, but, like, it doesn't surprise me, these weird university hazing things. I mean, David Cameron was part of the Bullingdon Club, you know. Well, some people claim he wasn't.
Excuse me, fact check, like, here. In the Black Mirror, what was it called? Black Mirror? Is that the show?
Black Mirror. Black Mirror.
Yeah, the pig was alive. The pig was not dead. It was alive. Okay.
Oh, yeah. The pig was alive. Yeah. Hi. Oh, yeah. Hi. It was a live pig on national television.
There's some profit this guy was, huh?
I mean, that's the thing, though. You would watch it.
Keep it clean, fellas.
You would have to
keep your piggery clean.
See, if that scenario came just now and, like, David Cameron was going to do that on TV, as much as that would scar me for life and I would never want to see it, I don't know if I could tear myself away from it. I don't think I could. I think I would just be like, I want to stop watching.
That episode for me was just the random selections of various Britons trying to turn away in public. Like, you know, they're playing darts in the pub in the afternoon and then they just stop and everyone's looking at the TV and, like, people are in the hospital. Yeah, people are in the, like, nurses in the hospital are, like, not taking care of their patients because they're in there, like, watching this with one eye closed and, like, really, really upset.
How could you turn away, man? How could you? Just couldn't. You couldn't. I really take this very seriously.
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing.
Really, Charlie Griffin thing actually, for Miss Piggy when he was little.
I gotta say too, if anybody's offended. I mean, really, we're not cussing, and the only reason, like, you don't talk about things like this on the radio during the day is because kids can hear them. If your kids are listening to the radio at 1:43 in the morning, you're a worse parent than we are radio hosts, personalities. That's all.
Personalities, is that where we are?
Back to the pig.
Although I just realized, on one station, the second half hour of the show on the second night of the week, which is this is the half hour that's going to go into the best of that plays between two church broadcasts on Sunday morning in Florida. So
I'm so sorry.
We apologize in advance.
We apologize all the time now. I think I spent the last show just apologizing for everything.
Yeah.
Why do we keep deviating from the pig diddling? This is confusing. Go on. I can't look away. Go.
I'm just going to say right now we're going to come on and go, Freedom Fiends, we're sorry.
Trigger warning. We didn't get the trigger warning. That's the problem.
The trigger
show.
See, that's why. That was our fault. We were bad radio hosts. Or personalities, apparently, were personalities. I'm not sure
what do you call them in England or in the UK? Radio.
Well, I usually presenters. Say for people that see,
Dan,
see
you're
for
a presenter.
That are on the radio. For people that are on the radio in the UK, I use a word for them that I can't say.
Yeah, but
on
isn't,
the radio
don't they call them presenters? Enough. Isn't that like a talk
presenters.
Show?
Host? Oh, yeah. Well, it's mostly you get TV presenters. Suppose yeah, radio, you can be a radio TV presenter.
You're a radio presenter, Dan.
Do you know, like, I know you guys have got the same. These have got like America's Got Talent. We've got Britain's Got Talent, right? And I remember one time this girl went on it and she went, "My talent is TV presenting," and then she started going, "Hi, welcome to Britain's Got Talent and stuff." And then obviously hit all the buzzers. And you were like, "Man, they employ people for that. Like, that was your talent. You're so untalented that you had to come and mimic badly the people who just get paid a lot of money to do that."
Oh yeah,
man. I know that was a bit weird, but I just thought of it.
It's like, yeah, I know you spent all of these years trying to perfect that card trick. And I know you did all those years trying to perfect that little dance routine you guys did, but I could talk in front of a camera. I should win this and not stutter. Where's my Emmy?
I love it. You've got to love it, man. I'm going to go on that show and I'm going to be like, I'm a radio presenter, but they'll only hear my half of the conversation, but not anyone else's.
Hey, Dan,
it's
are
not
you,
how feet.
Do you have the do you have the ringtone with your wife saying you got bigger buttons?
I do have it.
Are you using it?
What?
You should have that as your, it should be your ringtone. Do you have it as your ringtone?
It's on my phone, yeah.
Cool. For everybody, or just when she calls?
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends,
just old text.
And I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Pope on a stick. Pope on a stick. Pope on a stick. So do you think the Pope is the Antichrist?
I'm starting to think that.
Probably. Why is the Pope getting all commie all of a sudden? And read that headline there.
Alright, so this is from Babaloo Blong.
Sure, why not?
Pope thanks Fidel Castro for, quote, his contributions to world peace in a world saturated with hate and aggression. I am not making this up.
What are Castro's contributions to world peace? I mean, he's not the worst communist dictator ever, but I don't think he's done any good.
Yeah, he's up there, but
he's actually
not one of the worst.
Actually, he's by far not the worst communist dictator ever, just because of the low population of the area he controls. You know, Cuba is not the Soviet Union or, you know, China.
Yeah, that, and he did threaten to do like terrible things, but never could carry them out because, you know, he doesn't really have the ability to do a lot of that stuff. But
then he killed Kennedy. But oops, sorry,
too soon. This is from the Communist Party. From the Communist Party paper today, said during their meeting of the Pope thanked comrade Fidel Castro for his contribution to world peace in a world saturated full of hate and aggression.
The population in Cuba is 11 million. There are countries you've never heard of in Africa with more people than that.
I mean, it's just, well, we were kind of mentioning that a little during the break, you know, like, this Pope's been about liberation theology. I know that's been a big sort of...
Well, have they used that term? Is he using that term? I mean, that's basically like communism disguised as Catholicism that pretty much runs South America. Or a lot of it. It's how they got all those countries to be communist. They put it on, you know, I mean, generally, communism, you know, historically has been atheist and they try to stamp out Catholicism, but liberation theology basically says, well, it's easier to just, you know, for now we'll let them have their Catholicism. We'll just brand it as communism and say Jesus would have wanted the government to point AKs at the rich and take their factories and, you know, run them into the ground.
But see, oddly, I understand this thinking because I have, like, relatives, even an uncle of mine who is a hardcore communist, and he is as well a mad Catholic. Like, it's just...
Dan, show me on the doll where the Pope touched you. When you were a
Which
kid
one?
You drove yeah, when,
yeah. Let me tell you, yeah, my parents, right, this is how Catholic and
how madly Catholic,
my parents
mad
were,
Catholics.
How madly Catholic they were, right? They actually took us as children, like in the 90s, on a trip to see Pope John Paul II's Easter Mass at St. Peter's Square in Rome. They actually took us on a bus, man.
Now, is he
and
the
we
one?
Had to go through France, Switzerland. Is like, he... You can fly there like 3 hours.
Yeah, it's a nice trip. It's a nice trip, though. Is he the one? Is that the one that was a Hitler Youth as a kid, or is that the one they have now?
Oh no, that was after. That was Ratzinger, who was in the Hitler Youth. Although you've got to say, man, like, you basically had to be in the Hitler Youth.
Yeah, I mean,
your family was under scrutiny. You've got to throw that in there.
But he liked it.
It was weird that he resigned, though.
He did well.
It was odd that he resigned because popes don't usually resign. Usually they just stay there till they die. But that was weird. But like, apparently he'd covered up things, and you know, we won't go down all that. But it's a weird thing. I mean, see, my parents, for example, when Ratzinger came here to do like a mass, my mum was there, and she loves that. I don't know what she gets out of it, right? But she just loves it for some reason. I mean, going to see the Pope is like, it's probably like us going to a gig or something, you know what I mean? Like,
it's like going to see Elvis Presley.
A big band for her.
Yeah.
Aye, basically. Yeah. I was trying to think.
Or the Empire, or the Emperor in Star Wars. I think that's kind of more like what he looks like.
Well, a lot of Catholics kind of look at it like, you know, Muslims going to Mecca. Like, you got to do it once in your life.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll do then. There's a lot of
can you imagine going there and going like, okay, we're going to go see the Pope today, and he comes out and he starts spewing all this communist nonsense. You're like,
he does.
Wait, where am I?
See, like, see if the Pope came here like tomorrow and started saying all that stuff, he would love it. He would love it, man. Like,
well, this college is communist country, basically. It's socialist. Socialism coming to an America near you, and it's your fault for not doing anything about it for hundreds of years and voting for lesser two evils and thinking that gives you anything other than evils. It's evil, man. It's evil.
If you don't like the Catholic Church, then change, go inside and reform it from the inside. Yeah. You should have voted harder.
Bad touch. Show me on the doll where the priest touched you. Ugh. Too soon? I bet where the Pope touched you.
All right, my brain.
We're gonna have hour two Freedom Fiends coming up here soon with no liberation theology. Liberation theology sounds so pleasant, doesn't it? It's horrible. It's murder under the guise of progress.
Yeah. It's a final solution.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks.
And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Free Education Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPer 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends, of course, as always, is covered by the Bipcot Nay Government license, and this allows reuse by anyone. Anyone.
You say the Nay Government. Nay Government.
The Nay Government license.
What's that mean?
That's government. Nay Government. Government, no, me government. I should also mention this. This show contains chemicals known in the state of California.
To cause cancer.
To cause cancer and other birth defects and other reproductive harms.
I bought dishes at the 99 cent store in LA. I got them home and it said that at the bottom of them. I'm like, are you serious?
But you don't have to worry about it because you live in Wyoming. So it doesn't cause cancer in Wyoming. Only in California.
I also got
don't join any cults there and you should be fine.
I also got in California, I also got a calendar in the mail from my health insurance company that said that on the back of the calendar. I'm like, are you serious? All right, what do we got, guys?
I was going to say, Jim, I was just going to ask you to tell us about it, actually.
Oh, funny you should ask. So I guess there's a video of a cop threatening to lock up college kids for handing out pocket constitutions. This is from punkrocklibertarians.com. I guess Michael's a punk rock libertarian, I guess. In an infuriating video, two students at the College of DuPage, a public university, were on campus exercising their First Amendment rights by passing out pocket constitutions and flyers that read, America is a free speech zone, when approached by police officer and threatened with arrest. So apparently, you can have your own leash. You can have a longer leash. You can carry your own leash, but you can't give other people leashes to carry around in their own mouth, right?
Yeah, because handing out literature is such a bad thing to do.
Yeah. Filmed, ironically, one day after Constitution Day, the footage showed the officer infringed on the students' right to freely express their political opinions by threatening to kidnap them and throw them in a cage, claiming that they are, quote, soliciting. Soliciting.
I know, yeah. They're soliciting.
Or maybe these cops think that they're already in anarcho-Capistan. They're like, you can't solicit for a government. That's aggression.
Yeah, maybe we've got this completely wrong. But see, that's one of those weird things that it's like when you hear about stuff like that, it's like, man, it feels all dystopian, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like sometimes I get that dystopian feeling, and especially when I hear about stuff like that, I mean, like, who cares, man? It's just weird.
Yeah, like, you know, here's this bill, and in this bill, it has amendments to it that say you have certain freedoms, including passing around constitutions, a copy of this very constitution. Oh, by the way, if you do that, you're soliciting. Yeah. What am I soliciting? Solicit. Trying to sell you on a government, right?
Oh, man. That's the thing. And like, see, the thing is as well, like, I really worry, because I think just now we are in a lot of ways, man, it's you know, it's the, like, the Stone Age or the Wild West of the internet. And I really feel that, you know, like, I really get worried that, like, the day's coming when, you know, stuff starts getting censored up, you know. And maybe it's just me. I'm quite a gloomy sort of fella.
I'm actually looking forward to the Nuremberg trials for the drug warriors.
Yeah, I see, yeah.
And for cops, exactly. Like this guy. I mean, like, you know, I don't...
They were just following orders, Mike. They were just following orders. Michael.
I don't think the Constitution, you know, protects you or anything, but I still side with these kids, not this cop. I still think that these cops should be judged by a jury of those kids and then thrown into tiger cages and poked with a stick for a couple weeks and then let them out and then see if they behave.
Yeah, people should have the right to carry around their own leash and pass around other leashes for them to carry around in their own mouths. That should be a fundamental human right, right? Everyone should be able to carry their own leash by having a pocket constitution.
It's true. I mean, even like, oh man, even here when we had the, like, the independence referendum that was just about, like, just recently, it was a year ago, and there was all these people going, it'll be good in Scotland if we become independent because we're going to have a constitution. And then they wanted to go so far as they wanted to write the National Health Service into the constitution, which was just great. I mean, like, and but people were really getting into this, like, it was, they were like, America's got a constitution, and you're like, yeah, because it's worked out so well.
So the officer said, you can't have everybody out here doing this, otherwise you'd see stuff lined up all along here. Everybody will have their different point of view and a different point of view, so you can't do that. Yeah, you can't. Isn't that the point of free speech, is that everybody gets to talk and the best ideas win out? That's the whole point of free speech. So actually, yeah, you can. But no, you need a permit. You got to have a permit for free speech. And you have to be in the free speech zone. God bless America. But look, I like cops. They're good people, the fine people, the fabulous people. My doorman was a cop 50 years, great guy. If I was president, he would take my calls. He'd take my calls.
Did you love as well, like, I know we talked about Donald Trump last time, but sometimes I can't help myself, like, it was always the thing he would do, and he'd always be like, it was even one time was his own brand of water, and he was like, it's gonna be huge, you know, like, because his face is on water, do you know what I mean, like, the attention you're gonna get by this water, and you're like, that is just water.
Yeah, it's just bottled water.
Doesn't matter if your weird hair's on it. In fact, his weird hair would put me off drinking water.
They should put, like, a little like Trump hair on all of his product lines. There's a Trump Tower here in Vegas. It's a it's like a hotel condo type building, and I think it would do great if it just had that hair just on top of the building, and, you know, that little comb over look. He actually doesn't have a toupee. It just looks like a toupee. It's actually so bizarre. But I do want to see that haircut on top of the building. Give that building that haircut, the Trump haircut, and it would be iconic.
You could even put it on the water bottles. That could be the cap.
Yeah,
you
know, just exactly. The water bottle.
Trump toupee. I don't know. Like, I said it last week, and I'm just going to say it again. There's a weird part of me that wants him to become the president, just because then I would really feel like I'm in the end times. You know, I would really be able to get into all this apocalyptic stuff in a big way, because I would feel that was the first sign. You know, and then things, I mean, we got the Labour Party here, the guy that's been elected leader, he's the leader of the opposition, Jeremy Corbyn. I don't know if, I know that some American newspapers have talked about him. He's basically a Marxist in a lot of ways. Like, he talks about how much he's really far, in all seriousness, he's very far to the left, like, big time. And, like, it's, some people are like, oh, no, that'll be just, no one will vote for him, it's just ridiculous. But you know what, there's a lot of people that are really digging this. really hardcore commie lefty stuff, and you never know, man, that's the thing. But like, there's one thing I've just got to mention this since we're talking about him. Like, as much as I don't like his ideas and I think he'd bankrupt the country and I think he's a bit mental, he did say I would look at making it optional whether you wanted to fund the military or not. Not a bad proposal. Would that ever happen?
Did he really say that?
He did say that. Very unlikely, but he's been like the president of the Stop the War Coalition and stuff, so he's been very anti-war. That's the only probably thing that's any good about him, the fact that he's anti-war. But even then, if he got any position of power, that would change. It would be like, I'm anti-war, but...
just like Al Bush said, he was going to close Gitmo. That was the first thing he was going to do, is close Gitmo, and nothing. Apparently, the president really doesn't have that much power. And he has to, like, beg other people, and those other people want nothing to do with it, so...
Well, there was a Saturday Night Live bit. Gitmo. You see the Saturday Night Live bit when it's meant to be like it's Fred Armisen doing Obama, and he's basically saying all the people who have more power in the US than him, and it's like the NFL, Pixar, Tyler Perry, it's like stuff like
that. Pixar's evil. I don't understand how you can make a cartoon make people cry, man. I'll admit it. I cry during it.
That was a sad film. Well, that was sad, man.
I don't know if it was so sad so much as it was just emotional, like terrorism.
Do you think they did that on purpose? Trying to manipulate us, Jim?
Oh yeah, they are. It's all part of the Pope's plan.
So the Pope and Pixar are teaming up. And do you know what this reminds me of? There was an episode of Black Mirror when, like, because we're talking about Black Mirror in the first series, when, like, it's sort of like a cartoon character runs for office. You know, it's like they run for a by-election, but it's a guy behind a screen that's a cartoon character, and the people like it more than the politicians. Which, by the way,
I think the reason why is because that cartoon character didn't do anything with a pig on national television, right?
So here's the thing, right? So if Charlie Booker predicted this whole thing with the pig, you know, years ago, then maybe he's predicting the cartoon character thing. Maybe the next president and prime minister are going to be cartoon characters. I mean, we already know that they're puppets anyway, you know, controlled by other people. So why not just be honest with us? Why not use an actual puppet? Just a puppet. I mean, like, just then it's more honesty to the voters and we'd get more enjoyment out of watching it.
I think there was actually a Freedom Tunes about that, about other all just puppets. No, but there was a push a while ago to get a cartoon character elected, and it was Raoul Duke. You probably recognize the name. Yeah. It was the Doonesbury version of Hunter S. Thompson, and they were on news outlets for a while. I think this was back in, what, I think it was 92 or 96, I forget. It was around the Bill Clinton time. And they were pushing really hard to get Raoul Duke elected. And I would have voted for him had I knew who Raoul Duke was when I was that young. I couldn't have voted for him, but I'd be really interested to support them, though. Raoul Duke for president.
It's funny, man. I don't think we're that far away from it, to be honest. Like, I could see it happening. In my twisted brain, I could see that happening.
Yeah, well, I guess it really depends. I mean, like, the cartoon character would have to be, what, over 35, right? Has to be over 35. Had to have gone past his 35-year anniversary that it could do it. So Garfield technically could probably run for president.
Would you vote for Garfield?
America, it's 35 years old. Yeah. Put ban Mondays and make a lasagna a national staple dish. I'm for that.
What if you got a communist and made free lasagna for everyone?
I hate Mondays.
Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Freedom Fiends! Bringing back Crystal Pepsi.
The current Pope. The current Pope is in a liberation theology. And crystal meth, apparently. No, Crystal Pepsi.
What? He's into Crystal Pepsi.
Tell us,
hey, Michael.
Crystal Pepsi.
Hey, what? Michael, you're old.
Yeah. What about it?
Do you remember original New York seltzer?
No, I remember cream sodas, huh?
They made a cream soda.
I remember when they got rid of classic Coke and brought out new Coke, and people freaked out, and I didn't care.
Yeah.
That was just a marketing thing.
Yeah.
Is there a difference?
Yeah, they tried to make it sweeter because the idea was that, like, Pepsi did better in taste tests because people were sipping small amounts of it. And so if it's in a small amount, then sweet is good. If you're drinking it like a soda, then that sweet gets overbearing. And that's why people usually prefer Coke when they drink sodas. But when they do taste tests, they prefer Pepsi. So that was kind of like their admission that, hey, maybe we're not as good as Pepsi. So they came out with a new version that was just sweeter and flatter.
I am old. I remember watching the first man walk on the moon. I was 5.
See, that's the thing as well. Like, you know, when you go into like a bar, and I don't know if it happens there, but it happens here all the time. You maybe say, I'll have a vodka and Coke. And they say, is Pepsi okay? And you feel like going, look, listen, vodka tastes horrible, right? Just put something in there that's going to kill the taste of the vodka as much as possible so that I can drink it.
Put some quinine to make it sweeter. Yeah.
Like, I don't care if it's Pepsi, man. It's going to taste like vodka anyway.
Yeah.
But they still ask. God bless them. They still ask.
We don't have Mountain Dew. We only have Surge. Ugh.
What is Surge?
Oh, Surge is another discontinued soda like Crystal Pepsi and New York Seltzer. And it's coming back, too. Actually, it's making a comeback. It's basically Mountain Dew. It's Coke's version of Mountain Dew. But it also had something else in it. I think it had, like, some other chemical in it that gave you energy. It was basically like the energy drink of the early 2000s. And so it's making a comeback after a large campaign. Crystal Pepsi's making a comeback after a large campaign to get it back. And New York Seltzer didn't have a campaign, but it's back, and now everyone's freaking out over it. In fact, I'm drinking some right now. It's pretty good. But
you're one of the people freaking out over it.
Oh, yeah. I was freaking out. I used to love the stuff as a kid. And when it came out, I was like, 80s nostalgia. I'm sure it wasn't as good as this is. I'm sure they improved the formula. But, yeah, who knows? It's just all that kind of melodramatic nostalgia type feeling that you get, like vaporwave.
I have an odd relationship to Mountain Dew because we never used to have it here, like, say, in the 90s. But there was a time when we've got, like, all the nuclear weapons in the UK are housed conveniently in Scotland. And there was a time my dad was working on the base called Fastly Naval Base, but there's like Americans stationed there and stuff, and he would be away a week because he couldn't come back. You can't go on and off the base, you had to stay at the time. That was the thing. And because they were building something, he was a builder, he wasn't in the military or anything. But, like, he would come back after a week, and he'd give us these, he'd have, like, American sweets and stuff, and, like, cans of Mountain Dew. And we hadn't really had this stuff, because they had it in the shop there, whatever the military shop was, they had all these American sweets and stuff, so he would go in and buy stuff for us. And that's, now we have Mountain Dew here now, but, like, that kind of ruined
I'm
it for
so
us.
I'm so sorry.
But when, and instead terrible. I had it as an adult, and I was like, this is not as good as I remember it when I was a child.
Oh, there was a family joke. Yeah, there was a Family Guy. I don't like Family Guy, but there was a Family Guy joke about Mountain Dew. It's like, you know, we have like fermented urine, or we have Mountain Dew. Like, ew. Like, I'll take the urine. I don't understand why people like that. I mean, even when I was a kid, like, that was a cool drink. Like, that's what all the cool kids drink. And I used to drink it and be like, oh, this is terrible. I'll just put up with it because I want to be cool. And then I just realized, like, I don't have to be cool and drink garbage.
You find that out as an adult as well, don't you?
I don't care. I love beer. Shut up. It tastes good to me, okay?
It depends what kind of beer you're drinking, though. You know, let's be real about this.
Oh, yeah. Mean?
Because there's different beer shopping. I'm shopping to have a nice, relaxing, tasty beverage at the end of the evening, and there's I'm shopping to get as drunk as possible. The two are very different.
Yeah, what's the stuff that tastes just like water and doesn't sit in my stomach? That's the stuff that you drink to get drunk off of. And then you have the other stuff like, oh, yeah, okay, I like the grapefruit notes of the hops that they use in this variety. But that's my kind of beer is the really bitter, grapefruity stuff. Love it. Yeah.
And we will be back with more beer and soda reviews. That's just what we're doing now. Freedom Fiends, all beer and soda, all the time.
And a cure for malaria.
Bye, listening.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of lesser world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FeenPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Words. Right. Blah, 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 words. Words, words. Words, words, words. Freedom Fiends words.
I got kitties.
I've got worms, but that's something different.
Ask me about my worms.
I have ask me about my worms buttons about worms.
I have buttons. I'm going to make buttons to say ask me about my worms buttons.
Ask me about my,
one of a
ask
kind.
Me about my worms.
That'll be like
button,
a 5-inch diameter button. A life size picture of the other worms button on it.
And then later you can do the ask me about my worms or ask me about my worms buttons.
Until they're big enough that people can use them as shelter from the elements.
The bigger buttons.
All right.
Fiends helping humanity.
So I decided what I want to do with my life. I'm going to open up a bar in a hospital somewhere in Africa and just serve gin and tonics all day to cure malaria.
Yeah. Drunks always want to start bars. That's always the dream. Hubert Selby Jr. wanted to start a bar. He wanted to call it the Cubby Hole because his nickname was Cubby.
But mine's going to be for charity, and it's going to totally be funded by me selling parts to e-meters through the mail and envelopes with just regular stamps on them.
What are e-meters? Are basically just like skin galvanomic response meters, right?
Yeah, they're basically I forget what it's called, like an ohm.
Crappy lie detector.
Resistor, a Wheatstone bridge. Yeah. They just kind of, they used to like use them as like party lie detectors. is what they were essentially. But I've always wanted to build one of those things. And now that you can, they're small enough where you can mail in an envelope. I have to find one.
What was our Scottish correspondent jumping in with?
Oh, sorry, I was just going to say that before we got too off it, see on the topic of getting drunk in a hospital, do you ever see those, you know, those old Guinness posters that say Guinness for Health and things like that? In hospitals in Ireland, they actually used to, a long time ago, they used to give patients little bits of Guinness.
Oh, come on, like, they still
drink.
Do it.
For the stuff that's in it. Like, that was a real thing, and that's where those come from. Like, so there was a time when you would get a drink in the hospital. I miss those days.
that show Peep Show that we like, there's one where Mark wants to break up with his wife, and doesn't want to hurt her feelings, and he's like, I don't know, I'm just waiting for the right situation, you know, maybe somewhere with pleasant music and drugs and nice lighting. And Jeremy's like, where do you plan to find this magical breakup hospital? Or this magical musical breakup hospital?
There's no good music in hospitals. I used to work at one.
Well, there is. Here's the thing, okay? The two times I went to the hospital recently, like, it was an emergency, but it was enough of an, like, I was kind of having asthma attacks on and off all day. So between two of them, we spent about 5 minutes packing and took me to the hospital. So it wasn't just, you know, call an ambulance or something. It was like we drove there and I brought my laptop and my headphones. So there was good music in the hospital. So I brought it.
You stand corrected.
Just not for everybody.
Yeah, and there was good movies too. And like, you know, one of the doctors actually came in, or nurses actually came in and said like, that's smart, man. That's smart. Like, because, you know, or you could just watch the crappy, you know, cable with four channels that they sell you in the hospital.
But yeah, they're still on the tube televisions, too.
Yeah.
See, that's why you need the state to make your hospitals, because we have all these magical, amazing state hospitals that have no problems and just run like clockwork all the time.
I don't believe you.
Oh, yeah.
Magical musical breakup hospital. Yeah,
that's all we have here.
You ever get people sectioned? Section 8.
Actually, do you know what? I had a friend after that episode who actually looked into how easy it was to get someone sectioned here. It's a lot harder than you'd think.
They
make it seem like it's quite simple. You actually have to get the police involved.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow.
He actually looked into it because I've got one of these friends who can't let things go. He's got too much time in his hands, do you know what I mean? So, like, he actually phoned up and said, I'm interested in having more information about if I had to get, say, someone sectioned, what I would need to do. And he literally phoned up a bunch of, like, NHS numbers and asked the question. is that not too much time in your hands?
I guess so. Like, even calling one government bureaucracy is already a hassle. To call two, that's too much free time. To call all of them, it's called get a life.
It's called,
it could be worse. He could be a brony, right?
I watched that documentary, actually. It was on Netflix. Really interesting. I didn't even know what that was.
I gotta see it. What's it called?
Bronies. It's just called Bronies.
Yeah.
James, explain that.
Okay, I tried watching this, and it's so cringeworthy. It's basically Bronies are... okay, so there's a show called My Little Pony, I'm sure it's everybody's for little girls. Familiar with. It's for little girls, and they rebooted the series for a new generation, and their target demographic were for little girls. I think it was from ages 3 to 8 or something like that. But unbeknownst to them, their target demographic changed from that to 18 to 25 year old men.
Virgins.
With autism. Yeah.
Autism? And they all have autism?
with somewhere in the autistic spectrum.
I didn't know that.
Supposedly. Anyways, so now it's like a huge thing. They have conventions. They dress up in these like furry costumes, but they're My Little Ponies, and it's the most cringe-inducing thing ever. So if you thought that Trekkies, the film Trekkies about the fans of Star Trek, were bad, this is... I can't even use... there's no words describing how much worse it is. It's just that... it's that bad. It's that bad. Light years, whatever. I don't know. Just reaching for something. It's terrible. And I tried watching it, and even being a fan of something like the Cringe Channel, where they show cringy things, this was too much. This was way too much. I couldn't do it. It's too much.
Is it Cringe Channel?
Do you guys ever watch Bob's Burgers?
I like it. Yep.
They did an episode when he was like, it was like sort of their version of like Bronies, and Bob was infiltrating them because like one of them had, think about it, Tina had a rare pony, and like one of the guys had bought it off her or swapped it for practically nothing. Funny episode, actually. I don't know, it's a weird thing, but like I kind of like, there's a part of me that like doesn't want to judge people for being into things that I find weird, because I'm into things that other people find weird. Do you know what I mean? Like, so there's that, there is that part of me, but
yeah, I understand
I don't
that
understand
but
it.
The things that I'm into that are weird are the right things to be into.
Yeah, yes, I'm okay with people making fun of me for listening to The Residents. That's a different thing than being interested in shows for 4-year-old girls about ponies.
I've been watching this Brony documentary on Netflix. I'm watching it with the sound off. I've watched 20 seconds of it, and I'm already right. Like, these people are wrong, man.
It's like, I don't mind if someone slags me off for being into Norwegian black metal. At least I could look at that and go, I'm okay with that. You know, like, that's fine with me.
And some of those people eat people.
Well, hold on. Who ate who? Nobody ate. They might have sort of killed each other, and some of them went to jail, and some of them killed themselves, and other ones took pictures of their dead corpse and things like that. That might have happened. But
no, some of it ended up in soup. I heard some of it ended up in soup. The one that blew his brains out is on the cover of the record.
Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't his roommate make soup?
Well, I've heard a lot of rumors. I've also heard that like bits of his, I think his teeth or something were used, or bone were used for jewelry and things. I don't know how true all this is. I mean, it's on a, basically he killed himself and one of his friends in the band took photos of it after rearranging things before calling the police or anything like that. He just decided to take pictures of it and it ended up on the cover of a bootleg album. The band were called Mayhem and the album was called One of the Black Hearts.
Just came out with an album recently.
There was a guy in my town that blew his brains out when I was in like third grade, maybe, and he was a senior. And he actually, like, this is the first time I'd ever heard of anything like this. Okay, this would have been 1970, I don't know, 5, something like that. Like, he got kicked out of school for being nuts when he was a senior. They said they were going to mail him his diploma, but he couldn't come to graduation, and he said, I'm coming to graduation with a gun and I'm going to shoot everybody. And this is like back when that wasn't a common thing, so you know, they didn't immediately, like, you know, put him in a mental hospital. They had some police, like state troopers with rifles up on top of the school during the graduation, like in the 70s. And the guy later killed himself out in the woods, and his cousin, who was closer to my age, this is when I was like 14. His cousin was like 16, and he was like 19 or 20. Killed himself in the woods, and like left a note that he was going to do it. That my friend found after the fact. Went out there, found him, and took some pieces of his skull, and later made buried some of them, and then made jewelry out of one of them. And it wasn't like a sick, gross thing. And it wasn't like, I'm going to talk to metal magazines about this. It was like a secret. Like, he told me this. Like, I don't even know if anyone knows this, you know? But it's, you know, it's not too soon anymore. This was the 70s. But anybody from that town that grew up in my town knows who I'm talking about. It's like, it shocked this little town, the whole thing. But, yeah, like, my friend went out there and took some pieces of the skull and then hid them and then called the police. You know, called the ambulance.
Wow.
Black metal didn't exist. We were listening to Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd and, you know, Little Feet. Lowell George.
I mean, that's the thing, because, see, in a way, you could kind of see how maybe someone, like, might say that little bit, maybe that little bit of blood, maybe it's not like a weird morbid thing, maybe it's that's a little bit of that person.
That's what it was.
And they want to keep it with them, you know, like, so maybe it's not that. I mean, it's not something I would say, it's not something I've done.
Yeah.
But I could understand maybe how it could be not so much of like you say, it's not like I'm going to talk to metal magazines and look all cool and evil. You know, it's like, it could be like a personal thing. You know what? Someone.
When I was a really little kid, like, So my mother had some gold fillings, and when I was a kid, I remember one time I was like, I don't know, 5 or 6. I like put my finger in her mouth and touched the gold fillings and said, "When you die, can I have those?" Okay, she willed them to me. How creepy is that? Like, ooh, like, man. Like, yeah, okay, you want them? Yeah, 50 years later, here you go, kid. Deal with this, or you know, 35 years later. But basically, it's like, you know, she was cremated, and they have to take them out when they cremate them. But, you know, she had them sent to me. Isn't that weird?
So you actually have those?
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, "You didn't build that"? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
So I'm watching this documentary about bronies. I can't hate. These guys are damaged. I can't see anything. You know, whatever makes you happy. And people can make fun of me because I'm into cats. But you know what? Cats are real, and cats are badass. I mean, cats, like, you know, if my wife and I died in our home, the cats would eat us. And that's true. I mean, the bronies aren't going to eat you, the My Little Ponies.
They might.
They might. I think that all these men are virgins somewhere on the Aspie spectrum. I think you're right.
Yeah. Did they get into clopping at all?
I don't know yet. Derek Chain mentioned that last night, but I do. So far, like, this guy's basically saying, like, well, I got into being a brony because in my town there's nothing to do. So, like, the fun thing to do is go to Walmart, and I'm like, I live in Wyoming, and there are things to do more fun than go to Walmart, man. I live in the least populated
Kansas.
Hey, there are more people in Kansas City than there are in the state of Wyoming, man. This is the least populated state. There are things to do other. There's a pretty good sushi restaurant here, believe it or not.
Just for the record, Kansas City's in Missouri. The Kansas City in Kansas probably doesn't have as many people as Wyoming.
Well, I was talking about the whole metro area. Yeah.
Okay.
I know. I've
maybe Wichita.
I've committed a felony by crossing state line street. I'm not going to go into it. Back in the day when I was in a rock band.
Oh, fun. Right. I remember that street. So I used to love visiting Kansas City.
Go on, my young, strong, proud brony brother.
Yeah. Bronies creep me out.
I'm going to watch
every single level.
I'm glad we got Scott Saunders, not Sanders, not no relation to Bernie. Scott Saunders is editing the show tonight. Gives me time off to go watch the rest of this Bronies doc, dude.
Maybe we should just apologize to Scott now in advance. Yeah. Scott, we're all very sorry.
I was going to build a radio transmitter tonight, but, you know, I need to do it outside, and I think I'd rather do it in the daylight because the components are so small a fly could land on them and steal one of them. It'd be easier to catch him in the daytime. Because I ain't soldering.
You're trading having fun with the circuit board for watching bronies.
I can do both, man. But I got to solder outside these days because of my lungs. Yep.
Talk about the decline right of the there, show.
What's that?
You left us for a few months. The next thing you know, we're talking about you're watching videos about bronies instead of working on circuit boards.
What does this show went downhill in a big way?
I know. What does this show become? I kind of liked it better when we were talking about Crystal Pepsi than bronies. At least there's no clopping equivalent for people who like like different discontinued sodas.
You should start your own subculture for people who like discontinued sodas. You could even make it a thing where, like, you try and recreate them and stuff, and you could have, like, conventions. I don't know what you'd call it. I can't think of a name, but you could call it something.
Yeah, we're just sitting there trying to figure out the formula for clearly Canadian. I think someone figured out the Dr. Pepper Red Fusion. We're in a gold mine here.
Oh man, it's funny actually. It's funny you talk about stuff like that. It's like I don't drink a lot of soft drinks, but I can think we used to have Tab here. But I know you had it at a different time, mm-hmm. didn't you? We had it in like the '90s. I remember Tab, and then they stopped doing it.
Yeah, I see it around every once in a while. And in fact, they had a Tab energy drink for a while. I remember like getting that just because I was like, that's just a weird looking can. It looks like the old Tab soda can, only smaller. But yeah, that was the original diet soda.
You can cash in on nostalgia in a big way. I mean, look at all the bands that get back together after years to cash in on that nostalgic feeling, you know, because it's totally the same when you go and see the band as a fat, middle-aged person, you know, and try and remember when you were a young, good-looking person going to see them, and they were younger and better, and so were you, and you had so much possibility in front of you, and now it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember watching that the Bomb reunion show.
No, you don't.
You were in kindergarten. No. Actually, we were better at that show than in a lot of shows because I was sober and could remember the words and play the notes right.
Actually, that was about the time that I was going to concerts and shows all the time. Punk rock. I was a little ska nerd. Rude boy.
Fashionista. I never did that. I'll say it. I never did that. Swing music. Oh, man. Two-tone.
Be right back, bronies.
I'm watching that. As soon as we're off, man. As soon as we're clear, I'm watching that.
You're sooties, then.
I'm a foodie.
Sodies.
Yes.
Sodies. People who like discontinued soda.